Brother Jesse Kriegel is a blind evangelist. Plays the piano, loves the Lord, travels everywhere, lets nothing stop him or stand in his way. He told me, he said, I think one of my biggest sins, I watch too much TV. But he was disturbed in his article about churches, the type churches they are today. You stop and think, no older than America is, there was once the first church in America. And then from that first church, there become a second, and on. And who knows how many countless churches there are in America. And he made this statement. He said, if it don't sound like a church, feel like a church, and bring conviction like a church, then it may not be a church. And then Ray Blanchard is a Cajun from down in South Louisiana, whom I've known for a number of years. And he made this statement this week. He said, church is not for everyone. A lot of folk wouldn't grasp that. If church was for everyone, then ecclesia would not mean what it means. A called out from assembly. A people called out from the world to assemble. And I knew what he was talking about. And he said, are for everything. So I got to thinking, what's happened? What's happened in these last days? We're in the Laodicean age of the church. We're in the last days, folk. And I mean, when I say last days, I mean last days. There's nothing I know of that needs to be fulfilled except possibly one thing. I think Brother Frank might agree with me what I'm fixing to say. When the last person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, then the church will be raptured out. The word is gathered together or caught up together. Now, we're getting that close. I don't know how close it is, but I know it could be tonight. That's pretty close. And then it may not be tonight. It might not be next week. It might not be a year from now. Nobody knows. Nobody can figure that out. But God has given us some things that ought to arrest our attention. And it certainly did get a hold of my attention. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, this really stood out to me. Let no man deceive you by any means. The Bible gives us the three main means. The big three. And one of these three is what the devil and his deceivers will use to try to deceive you. One's called the lust of the flesh. The other's known as the lust of the eyes. And the last one's known as the pride of this life. Or pride of life. That's the big three. And so Paul said, don't let any man deceive you in any means. For that day shall not come. Except there come a falling away first. That's what really got a hold of my attention, Brother Frank, because the falling away is now. It's here. It does not have to come. So he said, that day shall not come, except there coming a falling away first. I went online and Googled and did a search for the top 100 churches in attendance in America. Now, I was amazed that the first 61 that were listed, and this organization that does that is a reputable organization. All you got to do is Google and you'll see it. And I was amazed the top three churches and their per se attendance. this year. This is 2017. The three of them together are averaging right now 109,005. Now, if them five lays out, I don't think it'd bother nobody too bad. But 109,000 people in three churches every Sunday this year. Now, I want you to, I can't fathom what I'm fixing to tell you, but it's per se going on. And last year, these three churches together amassed $450 million in offerings. Brother Leonard, you wouldn't have any problem getting that. You'd have problems sitting up at night trying to figure out what to do with all of it as far as banks. I wouldn't trust a bank taking care of my $450 million, would you? And I got to wondering about that. I got all the way down to number 61, for I found a man listed of like precious faith. And he only runs a little over 6,900 a week, close to 7,000. I couldn't make fun of that. We're not running that here, are we? And yet this man is a Bible man. I'm not going to call his name. But he's of like precious faith. None of the 60 largest churches in attendance in America would I acquaint with my personal belief. Now, I may not make you believe what I believe, but I'll make you believe I believe what I believe. And I don't acquaint any of those 60 of like precious faith. You see, you've got two opposites working in these last days. God said there's going to be a falling away first. Religion has got a flocking too. Now you got to have something going on better than what God said was going to be going on to amass 109,000 people every Sunday this year. There's something taking place that's the very opposite of what God has said in prophecy. And I have no doubt believing that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 is very, very true. I've evidenced the falling away in these 49 years. I've seen the decline in spirituality. People are not interested in spiritual things like they once were, Brother Frank. I'll give you for instance. If Brother Frank could give me the liberty to say, Sunday morning I'm going to start prayer meeting here in one of the rooms in the church at 9 a.m. and that's open for the men, and you men be here, I may start out the first Sunday morning by myself. I mean, there's been a decline, folk, in spirituality. I don't even know how often a person picks up their Bible and studies their Bible and reads their Bible. How much they even know about the Bible. Because God said they're going to come a falling away first. Now notice, stay with me. So he said, don't you let nobody deceive you by any of these three means. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, big, must be better. Well, I tell you how big is. The majority of people living right now go to hell. I'll prove it to you before I finish this message. God's not in the big. God's in the quality. Quantity is not that meaningful to the Lord, but quality is of dire need for the Lord. He expects it. He commands it. As a matter of fact, he said, my whole purpose in saving you is to conform you to the image of my son. And you're going to be like him. Now, I don't know if anyone is kicking against the pricks on that. I know there's a lot of them kicking against the pricks before they got saved. Paul was one of them. His name's Saul. So I want to share a few things with you today. And I hope you see this crowd that's flocking to these churches. We've got one right in Birmingham, Alabama. And it's got, I don't know what a satellite is. I've never seen one. But they've got satellite churches all over. And they sit there and watch him, I guess. I didn't think this was going to go over too good, but it's the truth. And I was surprised. I'm serious. I'm surprised. I wonder if one of them sick, does he go visit them at the hospital? I need some counseling, Pastor. Did you know that a shepherd in Israel never has over 100 sheep in his fold? Now, I'm not saying Brother Frank needs to get rid of a few of you, but then again, he may need to get rid of some of us. The shepherd knows his sheep by name. And when the flock got larger than 100 in his fold, then another shepherd was trained and raised up to start another flock. I was very impressed by the new principal of the school here in Childersburg when he stated, has he been there a year yet? There about a year? Laura, you know, don't you? I was surprised, you wasn't in there, but I was very impressed by him. I was impressed with his testimony first. He said, I have 480 or 8 students, and he said, I already know 375 of them by name. That, to me, is a principal that cares for his pupils. All right, let's dig in this. Y'all stay with me a minute. Number one, what day is he speaking of? My throat was fine till I got up here. I think it's catching. There's something. We need to cast the demons out of this place right here. Listen to it. Now we beseech you, brethren, verses 1 and 2, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as it came from us. As that the day of Christ is at hand. Now that ought not shake up a child of God. He goes a little further, and Paul takes us back to our beginning. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, he said, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. If you're saved, you know what he's talking about right there. You're one of the ones he chose. And he chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, so that you could get into 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So that 1 Thessalonians 5:4 can be understood. But ye brethren are not in darkness. The majority of the people you'll cross paths with the rest of your life are in darkness. And I'm going to throw another thing out at you, and you may not agree with me, but it doesn't matter. I won't even take a half a baby aspirin now. I sleep so good. You won't even get them interested in the light you've got to talk to them about it. Everyone up in here will agree with me that knows what I'm talking about. It's hard to get an open door to get a good witness into anyone today. They're not interested. Darkness has engulfed their system so much that they have no interest in this Jesus of the Bible. Now, there is another Jesus that the world's interested in, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. So he said, but ye brethren, not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief, but some will be. And I want to give you the reason, the main reason. Turn to Matthew 7, 22 and 23. Jesus is doing the talking, and many in the Bible is the majority of, as opposed to few, which is the minority. Small number. That word always means a small number. Many always means majority or a larger number. And he said, many will say to me, in that day. Now I'm going to show you what that day is in just a minute. Lord, Lord. That's that flocking crowd. Are you listening to me? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? You know what that means in the Greek? They said, didn't we tell them what you told us to tell them? You ever been around anybody that said, God told me this and God told me? I'm scared of that crowd that God's always talking to. Hello? I'll tell you something, but I roll up my britches leg. I can't save my shoes, but I don't trust that crowd. Hey, God's always talking to them, but they can't get settled in church. Can't be faithful to the Lord. Hello? God's always talking to them. My wife and I visited one time, and she said, oh, yeah, said the Lord woke me up, and I slipped my bathrobe on, and I come down the steps, and butterflies was around the window. I said, Lord God, we need to get out of here. And she said, God showed himself to me, and my gown stood straight out. I said, Lord, I'm glad I wasn't here then. Because I bet she had made a freight train take a dirt road anyhow. Oh, hadn't we prophesied in thy name? I remember Oral Roberts. You say, I wouldn't call name. God knowed I would. He knowed you wouldn't. Oral Roberts said, I saw the Lord stand outside of our building out here in Oklahoma. He was 900 foot tall. I read it. He's a nut. He wouldn't know God in a 40-acre field with a name tag on. See, all these people that prophesied in his name, we got them today. I read of one church in the top three who has a minister that is in charge of the apostolic ministry. Now, the apostolic ministry's got to be the raising of the dead and the warts off of granny's nose and stuff like that. Hello? You better be careful of that crowd, my friend. I'll tell you something. Deception is everywhere. God gave you an English Bible, and you don't need anything else if you've got an English Bible. That Bible was given to us so the plowman in the field could have something he could read, and the Church of England was keeping it from him. Hello? All right, watch now. Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Yeah, but they got back in. Didn't we do many wonderful works? And then, T-H-E-N. Did you know every word in your Bible was put there for a purpose? When is then? It's in that day when they are standing before the Lord at judgment time. It's too late. Judgment has already come. Then will I profess unto them at that time. Who's them? The flockers. I'm not talking about that TV bunch. The many as opposed to the few. I never knew you. I never ever knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How were they working iniquity? They were taking credit for what they were doing as it being of the Lord. And if it's not of the Lord, it's sin.
That's right. Amen.
Hello?
That's right.
If it's not of faith, it's sin. All right, let's go a little further. Second, knowing this first, 2 Peter 3:3, there shall come in the last days scoffers. There's people, you wouldn't catch them coming to Grace Baptist Church and listen to Brother Frank preach the truth. They don't want the truth. They're scoffers. They want to feel good. They need to go out and hug a sweet gum tree. Walking after their own lusts. It's a prelude before the gathering away of the true church. Because in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, he takes back up and says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now this Antichrist is not only the son of perdition, but I'll tell you something. Perdition has a few more children. Cain was of that wicked one. Judas Iscariot was a son of perdition. There are people living right now, running, pastoring, leaders of big old churches with thousands flocking to them that are sons of perdition. And the average Baptist today doesn't know how to discern right from wrong. They don't know how to tell you if that man's preaching the truth or that man's preaching a lie. They don't know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Why do you think God said, cry aloud? Somebody, I don't like loud noise. Well, don't go to hell. Well, don't go to heaven either. It's going to be loud up there. You ain't got nowhere to go, have you? Cry loud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and warn them of the wrath of God that's to come. Anybody? We don't even understand what God's got in store for a world of religion that has hated him, want to do it their way. I wished I had an hour to show you some facts that I collected for my own self, really, but I'd give you some of those, but I don't have that time. This word is so important. He said, the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. And Paul gives us a revelation, some of that revelation, of the mystery that the world knows nothing about. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. If you don't get anything out of my message tonight, please search this passage out and ask yourself, who is this? Where are they? You got them right here in Childersburg. Right here in Childersburg. There are these that I'm going to talk to you about. Listen to it. For such are false apostles. Well, Brother Martin, there are no more apostles. Try telling them that. They think they are. Right here in Childersburg, we got some that think they're apostles. I know where one lives, and the people park right in his yard and bring all their salary money to him, and he gives them what they need to get by on the rest of the week, and they're nutty enough to do it. He's a false apostle. He does not know the God of this Bible. You see, the devil has disguised his people in so many various ways so he can reach this crowd here and this crowd here and this crowd here. He's even got the trained, and I'll show it in a minute, he's got the trained ones that can reach the intellect. See, we got an intellect today that they're not impressed with Brother Frank. They don't want to come be with Brother Frank. They definitely wouldn't come listen to me. They want to hear a super duper authority of the Hebrew and Greek, the original Hebrew and Greek. This fella told me, he said, I read the original Hebrew and Greek. I said, you ain't that old. I may look like I rode in a load of pumpkins, but I ain't that dumb. You hadn't talked to nobody that talked to anyone 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 that read about anyone that talked to anyone that seen the originals. They've been gone that long. Well, they dug up the Dead Sea Scrolls. You wouldn't know them if you seen them. Hello? Boy, I'm going to tell you, deception is everywhere. And people fall for it. People are easily deceived today. Deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. That shouldn't surprise us. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed. His ministers. Look like Baptists, act like Baptists, talk like Baptists, sing like Baptists, pray like Baptists. But they can't preach like a God-called Baptist preacher. You say, well, why are you saying Baptist? Is that the only one? No, I know we're right. If we ever get wrong, we ain't got nobody right, have we? Also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, these people, they oppose and exalt themselves above all that is called God or that is worship, so that they as God sitteth in the place of God. Now, the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple of God. He's the only one going to sit there. They're going to rebuild that temple, and he's going to go in and commit the abomination of desolation that Daniel the prophet spoke of. He's going to literally sit down in that chair, and they're going to interview him over the 6 o'clock evening news. He'll look exactly like the picture of Jesus you've got hung in your home. And that's how God will send them strong delusion that they'll all believe a lie and be damned. Why? Because they would not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Well, I'll tell you something, folk. You're living in the best time you could ever live in. This is the worst time of history. The best time for a child of God, you will get to suffer for the cause of Christ. You will possibly be persecuted for righteousness' sake. You may even have an opportunity of being a martyr for Christ before the church is gathered out. Brother Frank knows this dear preacher friend of mine. They brought him home today. Hospice will take care of him and manage his morphine for however long he's got to live. He's been in the hospital there in Chattanooga, Tennessee for the last 2 weeks or so. His daughter called me today. He's 80 years old. His heart's leaking from the back. They went in the back of his neck and tried to put a clamp on it and stop the leakage, and it didn't work. And now his heart is regurgitating blood, just like a person that's throwing up. And yesterday she said he was screaming, Brother Marty, in CCU, God, please help me. I can't take the pain no longer. They had to take him off of morphine. They had to take him off of the Listerine drip simply because he was getting sick and throwing up any and everything. So they took him off of that and gave him the strongest pharmaceutical medicine that is known to man to try to give the ease of the pain. And he's screaming out, my chest is hurting. My chest is killing me. I don't know how long God's going to allow him to suffer like that, but he's suffering. There's a worse kind of suffering than laying in the hospital suffering. And it's an everlasting suffering in a devil's hell. I want to read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7 down through verse 12, and I'll be done. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. You know, for the sad thing about that, most people don't recognize it. Most people don't realize that iniquity is working. Did you know there was a day, and not too long ago, when you couldn't even go in a drugstore on Sunday except to buy medicinal purposes? The rest of it was roped off or closed off. That hadn't been that long ago. Look how far we've declined. Look how far we've gone. Hey, the mystery of iniquity is at work. It's at work. It's been at work. It's getting worse and worse. Man's not getting better. You show me where truth is, and I'll show you a smaller crowd. You show me where lies are being mixed with a little bit of truth, and I'll show you the flockers. Or is it the frockers? I don't remember. We're in a mess. Sad thing. And then, verse 8, and then, there's that then again. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Power, signs, and lying wonders. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. The devil's got a gimmick for each of those things to trap a religious person. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. There are people walking the face of this earth right here in Childersburg, Alabama, that'll go to hell believing that they're saved. And when they stand before the Lord, you know what they're going to say? Lord, Lord. You can't send me? No, no. Didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out devils in your name? Anybody in here done that lately? I'm not talking about your mother-in-law moving. I'm talking about casting out a real devil. Didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? No, I never knew you. Never, never a time. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. The only one I know in here tonight for sure is saved is me. That's why God said, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. You sure? Yes, sir. I know in whom I believe. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know Brother Frank will agree with me, and I'm using him because he's my pastor. I thank the world of him. We can be fooled thinking so-and-so is saved because they made a profession back yonder years ago, but their life has never proved it. A lifestyle is an outward demonstration of a life. I close with a thought. I hope you'll take this home with you. Have you got any infallible proofs that you've been made alive? There's three. And they're given to you in Acts chapter 1 in the first 8 verses. Three infallible proofs that you've been made alive. Every child of God's got them. You say, why? Because Jesus had them. And the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, dispenses those same three infallible proofs to our lives. I'll ask you, if you would, bow your head for a moment. Is there anyone to say, Brother Marty, would you pray for me? And just lift your hand up. Is there anyone? I see that hand. Anyone else? Would you please pray for me? I see that hand. I see that one. I see that one. I see that one. Amen. I see that one. Numbers of hands. There's one thing I know. Did you know you cannot go to hell if you really want to go to heaven? You say, what do you mean, preacher? If you really want to go to heaven, don't you think God will show you the truth? So you can't go. If you really want to go to heaven, if you want to go to heaven more than anything in this world, he'll show you how to go to heaven. I'm so scared that I'll do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing. No, no, no. You won't if you're honest to God. You can lie to Brother Frank. You can lie to me. But I want to tell you something, you can't lie to God and get by with it. If you're honest and you're truthful before the Lord, He'll give you the peace that passeth all understanding. See, I've seen too many people come to that place of crossing over, and I've seen the fear grip them and the distorted face when the devils of hell come to grab them and take them off into eternity. And then I've seen the faces of those that left this world with the peace that passeth all understanding. While your head's bowed, I'm going to tell you one quick story. Brother Frank, you was in Wilmington. I can't remember her name, but it was Blackstone, I believe. I was privileged to point her husband, the meanest man they said in Wilmington, the Lord. And I went out there to visit him, and he had found out he was dying of cancer. And I said, Lord, you help me get started. I don't know how to talk to this man. And he said, Preacher, could you help me? I'm going to hell. I said, yes, sir, I can. And when that man was dying as a saved man, he didn't live long, but when he was dying, his lost oldest daughter was in the room, and she couldn't wait to call her mother. Her mother had gone home to freshen up, and Daddy has gone, Mama, but he raised up in the bed and asked me, do you see him? Do you see him? Here they are. And he dropped back on the pillow. And the biggest smile on his face, and my daddy, was gone. And Sister Blackstone rejoiced and praised the Lord. And I preached his funeral, and his grandson got saved at his funeral. Now preaching the word, I understand. Who knows? You that raised your hands, I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what's bothering you. But make your calling and election sure. How do you do that, preacher? Come before God, get around this altar before God, and be honest. I'll guarantee you, if you're honest before God, He's more than glad to be honest before you. Is there anyone before we pray? Would you stand to your feet, and we'll have dismissal prayer. If you're troubled, your pastor will be glad to talk to you. We'll be glad to stay here and meet you here at the altar and talk with you after we dismiss in prayer. Any way we can help you, be glad to. Father, I appreciate the word. I'm glad you gave me the word. Thank God for the word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, Lord, I love preaching, but I want to preach what you want preached. And God, I thank you for laying this message on my soul tonight. Lord, it may just be that one person here. I don't know. But God, you had this message for us. And Lord, that one that needed it so much may be standing here right now. May the Holy Spirit of God awaken them and quicken them, Father, that they might come to know you in the free pardon of sin. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen.